So check this shit out, guys. There's not really names for like the, it's the name of the styles of pieces, right? So there's bricks, mm-hmm. plates, tiles, stud knobs, and tubes.
Stud knob was stud my name in college.
Stud knob.
No. Yeah, that's true, actually.
So like,
wait, did you say it's not true or it was true?
Me?
Yeah.
I said
so. Stud knobs.
Wait, it probably was.
Help me God, Joe. If
you count me down, just do like 2.5 or something. Like
anyway,
just try to fuck with him even.
Anyway, everybody, I just want to say welcome to Sit Sock. We've had a substantial audio improvement. Well, a 56% audio improvement.
56%.
Joe and Kyle busted out their expensive for consumers but laughably cheap for professionals. Blue Yetis.
Yep.
Right.
Oh yeah.
It's racist but correct.
Mine's actually the color blue as well.
Nice. Kevin pulled a headset out of a dumpster that he used instead of his other dumpster headset.
Mm-hmm. Wait, yeah, Blue Yeti mics are like no more expensive than like a really good gaming headset.
I know, that's why they're like they're right. Nice for the consumer market, but they're like garbage for like real microphones. That's
yeah. funny. Like professional grade microphones are fucking ridiculously expensive.
Yeah. Like you would not even believe that they cost the amount they cost when you scroll through and you see people like throwing them around on sets or whatever, or like if they're in a radio booth and you see them take their headset off and throw it up on the ground, you'd be like, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
For
comparison, not to interrupt Kendrick one more time, but the mic the shotgun mic we got for my camera several years ago, which was cheap for that, cost more than this mic does, like for an actual it's crazy how expensive that shit gets because there's all kinds of like cathodes and shit that's got to go into
it. Well, it's a precision instrument.
Yeah,
there's a lot of precisely made things if you want good audio. My contribution to the audio quality is that I'm not as drunk as I normally am.
Wahoo!
That's not a contribution. Well, that's probably not even true. And B, you could easily fix that during the podcast.
In the entire time that I've known Kendrick, I know that he's been a drunk, but he's never been a liar, except for those times that he's lied to me.
While he was drunk. Actually, depends. I don't even know if you lie more while you're drunk or not.
I probably tell the truth more when I'm drunk, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
It's the more the like hurtful truth type. Anyway.
Let's get back on the riverboat, friends.
Pissing in the stream. Wait, that's not it anymore. Pissing in the stream of consciousness, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of the new podcast, Pissing in the Stream of Consciousness.
Adults.
We're going to talk to you about dive bars today. What makes a dive bar?
That's a fucking callback or throwback. Yeah, that's good.
I was going to save that for like episode 300 or something, but fuck, I was going to save it for episode 200 and I forgot. So here we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Now we're here. So I have been. I have been doing random cleaning lately. Like
random cleaning, like you just walk along and then suddenly clean this part of the mirror and then.
No, that's what I wanted to clarify. Not cleaning, random reorganizations, right? So I'll see something and I'll be like, man, it's really not the way I want it. And I like reorganize part of my garage, but not all of it, just part of it. And so now it's a lot cleaner.
And instead of calling it random, just call it spontaneous.
Yeah, spontaneous clean or spontaneous organization. I already love organizing stuff, and people who listen probably already know that. Like, it's one of my like favorite things to do. Like, if I could get paid to just organize people's like things, I would do that.
Kyle, I built a shed for organizational purposes, so I'm with you. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Like sitting down and sorting like cards from a booster box is like my like Sunday jam. Like I spend all day doing it. And it's my favorite.
I'm not right with you there. That sounds boring as hell. I'm right with you conceptually.
Sorting by color and card art and making sure that the. No, I'm just kidding. There's one way to sort, and it's none of the things I just said. So we have collected a lot of Legos as adults. We're allowed to spend our money on whatever we want, so fuck you,
Kyle,
society.
You're moving away from the microphone.
I know, I was spinning around and looking at my Legos, and then I realized that I'm not recording my headset anymore. So so we have a lot of Legos, and so what we had to do at one point was we had to dismantle some of them in order to put more stuff out on our, like, stuff out, right? You get more stuff, and you want to put it out and show it, blah, blah, blah. So I dismantled them. I bagged them. I dismantled every piece, even the hard pieces. Dismantled. Put them in a bag. Put the instructions in with the bag. So now we have all of our like non-built Lego sets, itemized inside of bags. What I didn't remember I had was a bunch of old Lego sets, like the Western and the Adventure Lego sets and the Ninja Lego sets from like way back in the day, like when I was
pre-Ninjago.
No. Pre-Ninjago. Yeah. Pre-Ninjago, where it was just gray and black and red ninjas.
Oh, the red ninjas were the baddest.
Hells yeah. Yeah.
And then there was like the blue shoguns and the red shoguns. But
they had cool armor too.
And I went through and I rebuilt them all, and like, it was nuts because you look at like Lego, and this is true with anything in the world, so I'm probably not novel here when I say that Lego sets have evolved, right? Like, there's more pieces now. It's interesting to see, though, what I thought as a kid was like the creme de la creme of Lego sets, and nowadays, like, what I think is a cool Lego set, right? I moved away from like enjoying play sets to enjoying like vehicles or ships.
Sculpture?
Or yeah, not really sculpture. I don't care about that shit. But like,
I mean,
I guess,
like, you're
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Sorry. Go on.
No, it's a good point. Yes, the good differentiation. But like, those sets were like meant to be played. It's like when you were a kid and you got like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Lego set, or yeah, not Lego set, but the
you got to
sewer.
Build a toy and then yeah, play with the toy.
Yeah, and so like it was interesting to go back and build those and see how simple they were, but how much I enjoyed them as a kid. Also, my adult brain was like, well, I can go order individual pieces of Legos online for the ones I'm missing, and I did all that too. And I basically like built all these sets, itemized what pieces were missing, and tried to order as many as I could to backfill them. And now I have nearly complete Lego sets of old sets.
So does that mean there That's are awesome. Official names and product codes for each
yes.
piece?
Mm-hmm.
I believe
so. You can
so.
See it in the back of any
yeah,
instructions for the Legos.
They have like little codes for each individual piece and color, I think.
They actually utilized that in the Lego movie, in the first one, whenever they...
I remember seeing the SKUs, but I don't remember seeing names. Do they have names or are they just SKUs?
I saw names on every piece I looked for.
Yeah, I believe
there's
names.
I don't know if they're formal or not.
So like a 2x1...
It'd be like a 2x1
flat
slope.
Top.
Or
another one that's just Sven, just called Sven.
Sven. This one is called
Sven. They're
not
shitty like IKEA and just using their, like shoving their, like... culture all in
whatever
place and
whatever consonants get strung together, that's the name of the furniture piece.
Yeah,
there still is a lot of that though with the play sets. Honestly, the kids get tons of like Minecraft themed Legos for birthdays and stuff because they love Minecraft, and you know, one in one, it just makes it well. But yeah, there are all the Minecraft Lego sets are like play sets. They're meant to be played.
Nice.
Yeah. And what I, as an adult, have now is just a bunch of Star Wars ships. Like,
right. It's like models, right? You could set them up and put them on a bed, like on your shelf, and put them in cases like Murdoch does.
Yeah, I never do that because I'm lazy and I don't have enough room for all the cases, surprisingly. Like, the way I have them lined up on my shelves would not facilitate a casing for each one of them because of the bulk of the case.
So check this shit out, guys. There's not really names for, like... It's the name of the styles of pieces, right? So there's bricks, mm-hmm. plates, tiles, stud, knobs, and tubes.
Stud knob was stud my nubs. Name in college.
Stud knob.
No. Yeah, that's true, actually.
So, like...
Wait, did you say it's not true or it was true?
Me?
Yeah.
I said
so stud knobs...
Wait, it probably was.
Shit, I went to school with all you guys. I can't,
yeah,
I, that's
you can't get away with
I can't
that
get
shit.
Away with saying that.
You spent time with all pieces? Of us. I just Googled Lego piece names... And there's a thing on Quora that popped up, and it was like, here's a listing, like an image of all the pieces of like their individual, like the styles. And it's like, bricks are the thick brick ones. Plates are the flats.
Is
then
it
tiles.
Thick with two C's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
dummy.
Capital,
if they're if they're extra, they're double. They're dummy thick.
You fucked well, that up.
I fucked it up.
I fucked the kids are saying.
You know, I've never said I was lit.
It's
I am fire, though.
I have definitely been lit before.
Yeah.
Because it's they're three bricks, three plates high, so there's three C's and thick.
It's the number
yeah.
of C's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the color the color is a thing, too. Like, the color isn't part of the name. So it goes, like, the part number, the Lego code, there's a color, and then it has the part has a name. Like Joe was saying, like, brick 2x2, or brick 1x2, or, like, brick 1x8. All of that stuff comes into play. But I think the Lego code summarizes all of that.
Including the colors, what you're saying.
Yeah, everything. Color, name, and actual
I would expect
number.
That because it probably refers to like specific runs of certain pigments and plastics. So.
I was sure. The part number is directly associated with the name, and I'm air quoting name. So brick 1x8 is always a 3008 piece. And if it's
well, fuck off then and stop talking.
This is genius. It's if it's 3008, that means it's a brick, and if it's 26, that designates black. So you can tell by the Lego code what you're looking at if you know how to do like Lego code reading.
Lego math.
Yeah.
Lego math.
All right. Anyway, we can stop talking about Lego. I'm just saying it was really cool to go back and build and see how simple the sets were now and see how much filler they get. Well, like, they've evolved into putting filler pieces in to increase, like, set count. You know? Like, a piece you'll never see gets added to a set just because it's an extra piece.
They can have more numbers.
Yeah, I can put more numbers on it.
I want to point something out, then, because this means one... Well, it means one of several things, but it means something, and... What it means is that either they have all of the dyes and casts, like all the models and molds to make bricks, and they continue to make them forever, or they have a stockpile of enough pieces of Lego to handle whatever orders they expect to come in forever.
I don't think it's either, because they run out of... They discontinue pieces. Does that mean that they're out of... They didn't...
That would lead me to believe that they made, like, well, okay, well, we need, like, 200,000 for this kit, this run of kits. Let's make, like, 240,000 and then just keep those parts in case we need them later.
I can imagine that. I don't know, like... My experience with that hasn't really been with piece replacement, but we had, you know, growing up, we collected a whole bunch of the, like, we had, like, the Black Knight's Castle, a bunch of the old space sets, when it was, like, the weird space miners, and...
Oh, yeah,
they were of legal age.
Rock Raiders.
Yeah.
I had that, too.
Yep.
Those are another sets I built, was Rock Raiders.
Yeah, and then when I went to college, I left my Lego set to my niece and nephew because they were, like, ripe for that. Like, they were starting to really get into Legos and was like, I need to not be distracted because I'll just rebuild all that shit and build more robots and fail out of college again. almost.
Again.
Almost. Again.
Anyway.
A story for another time.
Yeah, but the... and I was talking to my sister, and she was like, oh, they went onto Lego's website, and they have digital PDF copies of every instruction booklet they ever made. So they found all the old instruction sets, and they rebuilt everything, like, wow, to their actual, cool, like, coded specifications. Like, so it leads me to believe if they're keeping the actual, like the documents of those parts, I gotta imagine they still have the pieces.
They get rid of molds, I know that. There's a way you can know all this, Kendrick. There's a show on Netflix called The Toys That Made Us, and there's a whole episode on Lego. Shut up, I'm talking.
Bored.
And you can watch that, and it'll answer a lot of your questions about Lego.
I don't like that answer. I want to speculate instead. I also saw a video, Adam Savage posted something, when he talked about how when you look at, like, Lego colors, how little they've changed over, like, relatively long periods of time. If you go to, like, the 80s or whatever, they are a little different. But how for 10-plus years or in the same sets, they have virtually no difference in pigmentation. And it's one of those things where it's like, do you have any idea how hard that is to do? Like, you think about other toy. If you buy, like, 3 action figures from different points in the model run, they might have slightly different paint on them. They might have slightly different colored plastic. If you're doing Lego, you can't get away with that because you don't know if this piece is going to be shipped with that piece if they were, you know, built right next to each other, if they were built a few weeks apart. And apparently, it's one of the things that's, like, their biggest secret is how they maintain such perfect pigmentation in all of their pieces.
I don't know that I buy that.
That's cool.
Like, there's a lot of other things that use printing and pigmentation to defined set runs, like Magic does it and various other
games. So, of toys.
And
because you're talking about embedding in plastics. When you're printing things on, like, an inkjet printer or a printing paper, that's much easier to do because you've got calibrations and stuff. But they're mixing pigment into a plastic medium.
Isn't that kind of like what paint mixers are, though, and similar? Like, there's a set amount of pigment that goes into the paint, and then you shake it, and it becomes a color, and they know those pretty exact.
Yes. They do, but then you have to make sure you have all of those, like, it's not as trivial as it seems to get it all lined up right for physical things that you then demold and heat and melt and stretch and stuff, so it's actually apparently quite difficult to do that. I don't know, don't look at me. I'm just echoing the words of a guy who used to work as a toy prototyper, so.
It doesn't sound real.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure you have no idea what you're talking about, but that's fine.
I mean, neither do you, so I guess we're on the same page. Shots fired.
We're on the same page.
I regret being sober.
Well, nobody asked you for that.
Same page.
Hey, you know, guys know what the best part about being stuck in a time loop is? There's no best part, actually. Living the same minuscule moment over and over again.
I'm not doing a time loop bit.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to go on until someone came up with another topic.
I was going to let Kyle monologue until someone interrupted.
Meaningless time loops are. one of the other things that happened is that Kendrick finally, and finally is a weird way to say it. I don't know if that actually happened, but because he said he had it installed before.
Prematurely, but go on.
That he had installed Tabletop Simulator and gone through the tutorial, but he finally got on Tabletop Simulator and we played a game on it. Most of which devolved into everybody drawing dick butts towards the end, but we did have a solid 2 hours of gaming and understanding the system.
Technically, we played an entire session.
Yeah.
Of
Gloomhaven.
Nice.
And during that game, there's a lot of downtime, depending on how dumb you are as a player, and that leaves you with time to draw dick butt on the background or cod pieces on the background characters.
It was amazing. It's like a work of art. I want to take a picture of it when we're all done playing.
It's getting pretty good, yeah.
But suffice to say, Kendrick has experienced Tabletop Simulator. Joe's experienced Tabletop Simulator. I've done it. Now Kevin's the only one who doesn't play board games, so he probably never will.
Kevin.
So Kevin,
fix that. Kevin. Kevin.
Hey, you know what? I
not, I'm not besmirching you for that. I just wanted to tell you that my level of fascination went from I don't care to once I get laid off, I'm gonna just play with scripting macros and shit and like games in this game for like a couple of weeks until I have to get a job.
Imagine the craziest shit you could do with like a table flipper game in there, right? Like it's most of it's already built, so you could come up with like all of the game parts of table flipper. Like, instead of just developing the flipping table thing, you could come up with, like, what you could flip. And, like, I don't know. It could be cool. I mean, man, I'm going to shut up.
I like where your head's at, but honestly, I'd probably stick with that for my own engine that I was working on. And I'd probably go in for, like, building all kinds of fun board games I can't be bothered to figure out the rules for on pen and paper, like physical world.
Oh, yeah.
And just start playing with making my own game mechanics and just testing them in that world. Because I can't be buggered to make like a real board game, but I have had some like random ideas over the years, and I'd probably just go in there and start scripting stuff and just see what I came up with, and I would have a whale of a time. I can pivot into a long-winded conversation off of that if anyone has got anything else. You should say that now.
We have three to five minutes left. Is that enough?
I can feel that.
Rocking.
So one of the reasons I became a computer programmer was because a number of years ago, probably 22 to 25 years ago, I discovered a DOS-based game called ZZT, or ZZT, or ZZT, if you want to be really difficult shit. And it was a game that is a two-dimensional ASCII art-based meta game where you got to build games. So it was a game engine that you got to use, and I insisted on getting the upgraded one, which was called Mega Zeus with an X for that S at the end.
For an extra dose of his pimpin.
Something like that. Yeah, nice. Extra dose of pimpin. I definitely was thinking that when I was like 10 or 12.
Well, you'd seen Idiocracy by then, so I don't understand why you wouldn't.
Of course, yeah, that totally existed then. And so in it, there is a rudimentary scripting language based off of BASIC, and you got to build a level designer, and I spent way too much time making stupid little video games in that and playing some of the really badass games that people had built. I'll put a link to it in this description somewhere. But it was honestly, it was probably one of the most inspirational things that motivated me to get into computer science.
That sounds like Patrick.
Yeah,
Patrick
that's Patrick.
That stuff with Roblox.
Yeah,
he plays Roblox constantly.
He built me an entire tutorial on how to play Minecraft in like 30 minutes. Like he went through, added all the stuff to teach me the various game mechanics, like how to create diamonds and how to create a weapon and how to create armor, like in like 30 minutes. And I was like, Jesus, this must be like the next Kendrick.
Well, he's probably going to be much smarter because he'll have much better tools at the very least.
We got him on this thing called Tinker, like T-Y-N-K-E-R.
Yep.
And he was
Isn't
at
that like a child dating site.
Well, I hope not. I mean, but it's like it teaches you programming in various languages.
Yeah.
They have like tutorials on how to do a bunch of stuff, and he's been making Minecraft mods that he could like put into the folder with it and then apply it in the game. And he's been going nuts with that too.
Holy crap. How is he learning all this? I've been curious about it, Kevin. Is he just like watching videos or
YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube.
Just YouTube?
Although we did have to turn YouTube off for a bit because we started getting to some like kind of creepy horror
dark stuff.
Oh no. Did he fall down the rabbit hole of like trying to watch horror films so he can do horror film movies again?
Yeah, there's a few like horror creatures he's a little obsessed with. Like one is Siren Head.
Mm.
What is Siren Head?
Siren Head's really badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? I mean, it's not.
Kyle, I've got a video to send you.
How am I the only one that I like horror, and how am I the only one who's never heard of Siren Head?
It's a creepypasta. But how about we're coming up on time. anyway, do you guys think you have another episode in you?
Oh yeah.
That's an Indian song.
I'm assuming so. Okay, so everybody, I hope I don't have to edit around what we just did because that was weird. So go ahead, like, comment, and subscribe, and we'll come back at you next week with an interesting conversation that's definitely going to start with the discussion of Siren Head.
Peace out. So
stop recording now. No. Stop listening, like, before we went on that tangent about Siren Head. Bye!